Would you open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2. The message, I want to say something about where the message is going to end up going to, even though it isn't at that point here at the beginning. Where we're going to is, much of what has been said in today has been good, because I do believe that there is a change happening. Steve mentioned, something's going on in the church. And there are changes, and we talked a number of weeks ago about how we need to understand that we're at a crossroads, and there's movements going on in the realm of the spirit, and if we're going to follow on with God, we don't tell God which way to go. We get in line with God, right? I mean, that's pretty simple to understand that. So as God is doing certain things and bringing this age to a close, we think we need to be that much more sensitive to the flow of the Lord and hear what He's saying and do what He tells us to do. So I just wanted to make sure that I say this out front. The scriptures here, I'm going to start off talking about being filled with the Spirit. Okay? And we're going to talk about what that is. There's that really, if you look at it, I think that much of the Christian community these days thinks of being filled with the Spirit in only one dimension. And that's the first one I'm going to read here. But there's an aspect that I want us to understand about being filled with the Spirit that pours over into some other things that we're going to talk about at the end of the message. All right, so here we are. And the word filled that I'm going to read means to be supplied, to be furnished with, to be influenced by, to be inspired. Drinking in, something coming in upon. And so it says this in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 4, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Okay? Alright, so here's one example of being filled with the Spirit of God. And in this case, and at the beginning of this whole thing of being filled with the Spirit, we see that there is a speaking in tongues that's involved. God doesn't do this capriciously. Anything that He does, any time that His Spirit moves, there is a reason for it. Okay? Right? God doesn't do things. That word capricious, means, I don't know what the actual dictionary definition is, but without thinking, without any real purpose, you just do it because you're doing it. Okay, so, but God doesn't work that way. God always has a reason. There's always a purpose. And God, in this case, wanted to get some people's attention. And so this gift of tongues is given out when the apostles were filled with the Spirit of God. Let's go, I want you to go to Acts chapter 10. And we're going to go to verse 44. And we see this in verse 44, Acts chapter 10. "While Peter spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word." Fell on them which heard the word. "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out. the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gift, we have to realize that the gift of the Holy Spirit is not just talking about tongues. This is one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. It is the gift of tongues. There's all kinds of other gifts, right? I'm not going to go through them all, but you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and there's all these gifts of the Spirit. There's fruits of the Spirit, and there's gifts of the Spirit. And this is talking about that they noticed that one of the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, was given to these Gentiles, which the Jewish people, how come the Gentiles are getting this, you know? So this is what was going on there. But, you know, when the Holy Spirit falls on people, this is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit fills you. By falling on you. It's an outside thing that God has decided that He is going to enter and fill a person because they've opened up to Him, right? God does it. It's what He wants to do. And I think that's the only way that people think that you get filled with the Spirit of God is if God decides that, okay, I'm going to do this to you now. Right? Now, I want to mention to you that I believe that that's not the only way, and I'll try to show you a few of the scripture, because otherwise we find that we just go through life hoping that at some point God will fall on us and inspire us and fill us with what we need for that particular time. But being filled with the Spirit of God goes beyond that. And this is very exciting and encouraging for us if we understand this. And go back for just a second to Acts chapter 4, verse 8. I just want to show something here, because there's controversy, different groups about, you know, that being filled with the Spirit means that you speak in tongues. But here we find that in verse 8 of chapter 4, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, and he goes on to explain some things. It doesn't say that he was speaking in tongues there, but he was filled with the Spirit, right? You don't have to be speaking in tongues to be filled in the Spirit. I just want to make sure that that's very clear, that that's how we see things, at least the eldership here sees things. Yes?
Just a little thing, too, about like when you were talking about speaking in tongues, if you read down further, and where it says in 2:6, it says when these sounds occurred, the multitudes came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language, right? Yes. So not only was somebody speaking in tongues, but people were hearing it in their own language. So there's a lot of, you know, they forget that part because there's a lot of people that speak in tongues and nobody knows what they're saying. So there's a little difference in what the Bible's saying and how people kind of utilize it sometimes. So
yeah.
So just to kind of make that little.
There's different things that happen with tongues, and sometimes it's hearing in the language.
Yeah.
There's another scripture in Corinthians that says that Paul says, well, I can speak with the tongues of men. But I also speak with the tongues of angels. So there's actually an angelic language that's spoken that people can speak when they're speaking in tongues. So tongues is a wide, wide open thing here. God decides how He wants that manifested. And it doesn't constrain us to the fact that if you are filled with the Spirit, you're not necessarily needing to speak in tongues. I want to get that straight. Okay? That's very important for you to understand. Now, some people might disagree with that. But the scripture, if they mention that a person is filled with the Spirit, and then and they mention that spoke in tongues, but then in other places they say it was filled with the Spirit, and they don't mention tongues at all, you get the impression then that not every time is that happening. Right? So I just want to establish that. But, this whole thing I want to talk about is not that, but something else that deals with being filled with the Spirit. But I do want to make sure that we understand that being filled with the Spirit does not mean that you have to be speaking in tongues at that time. Okay, so I think we all understand this. It's something I think we know, but I felt like this is what the Lord one of the things He wanted to bring out. And you notice over in verse 31 of that same chapter of Acts 4, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness." So it wasn't tongues, it was speaking the word. But there was a shaking there. Right? There were some big things going on. And even that is not necessarily the only way that you and I get filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm making a long, drawn out thing to get to the main point here. So, I had a different wording for this, but Kathy used a little thing that I thought was cool. So it can happen where there's a tremendously overt manifestation, where there's tongues that are coming forth. And it happens in a very grand kind of way. God does that. He does things in a grand kind of way. But that's not the only way that God reacts with us. And sometimes we have little mini bursts of the Spirit inspiring us. This all is under this category of being inspired by God. Right? The inspiration comes when the Holy Spirit falls on us, where it's outside the realm of any preparation or any forethought or anything. The Holy Spirit falls. You get it? That's what happens. And I think a lot of Christians think that's the only way it happens. No, that is not. And sometimes there's this little mini burst where we get inspired with a thought or a feeling to reach out to somebody, and then we go, oh, that was the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit that touched me to do that, right? So these little mini bursts can happen. But there's another thing that I think we overlook a lot, and this is what I wanted to talk about. So would you go to Ephesians chapter 5? Because I'm going to start this line of spiritual thought, I hope, with you. Ephesians chapter 5. If you look at verse 18, Paul tells the Ephesian church in verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's kind of a command. What? How can you be commanded to do something if the only way to do it is if when God decides to move on you, it's supposed to happen? Do you get the point here? Paul is telling this Christian church, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? There's a command there. That requires something on the part of the people. There is an actual foundation, basis of preparation that we have, that as we are faithfully executing certain things, that we are being slowly, steadily filled with the Spirit of God. Do you think that as you've matured in your Christian life, do you think that you have, there are some things that no longer affect you the way that it used to, that you've come above it, the Holy Spirit has helped you to get through that? You don't have to get some grand happening to you. It's been established in you. It's been worked in you. You've been moving along now. There's this steady progression of the Spirit of God slowly and steadily filling you. That's true, isn't it? If you look at your life, a spiritual life, you would probably say, yeah, little by little, God is filling me up. Now, it's good when we get the bolts, when we get the boost that sometimes that we need in extraordinary situations or just in particular things where we're really reaching out for the Lord, and he comes through and bam, he gives us this great inspiration. But there's another kind of being filled with the Spirit that deals. Everything okay? That deals with us investing in God and the Holy Spirit itself. And that is a gradual, deeper kind of filling that happens. So we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and there's a rising level of engagement with the Holy Spirit, a rising fast connection. We're talking about connections. A rising, a faster connection with the Holy Spirit. The more that you do something, the easier, the quicker you make connection to that thing. When you're playing basketball, if you're shooting baskets, you're shooting foul shots, and you really practice that a lot, it starts to become a little more automatic. It's easier to do, right? I'm learning things I didn't know before, and the more I do it, I hope you're hearing this, the more I do it, the easier it becomes. It doesn't feel so awkward. The more you pray, the less awkward it feels. Right? The more that you trust, the easier it is to trust the Lord. Yes. Isn't it? Yes. We are all in this process of being filled by the Spirit of God. It is not only mini bursts and Him falling on us, but it's also us investing in God and having that slow, steady filling of His Spirit. I think that's a great thing. All of us have that. We are in this moment even being filled by the Spirit of God. Amen? I thought that was really good. Now, notice what else it says here, because we do this when we come together a lot. Let's continue to read, because he talks about this. So after verse 18, being filled with the Spirit, he says this: speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, the more that you sing spiritual songs to yourself, how wonderful that is. Kathy mentioned about being with her sister and brother-in-law yesterday, when Alan asked us to sing that particular song, How Great Thou Art, we started singing it. I want to tell you, now, normally, I'm not going to sing loud enough for anybody here. I entered in. Instead of holding back, I decided, no, I'm entering in with Kathy. Kathy started, and I entered in. Entering into that, taking a step out there, rose up in me. I was so blessed by the Spirit of God on me and on Kathy, and I could feel it on her, and I could feel Him on me. I really could. And it was really beautiful. And I was worshiping the Lord, and I got caught up in that. And I was so appreciative that God did all those things. How great is He? You actually think about the words. You invest in the words of the songs. Isn't that fantastic? And so this is one way that we have that steady filling of the Spirit of God, is singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, songs and hymns and spiritual songs to the Lord. You know? You invest there, there's a filling that begins to happen to you. And I'll tell you, what happens with this is that, unbeknownst to us, outside of us actually being able to evaluate it, there are things that are happening where it's easier to connect with the Spirit. We always want to look for some kind of immediate thing, but it usually takes a little while. And before long, it is easier to make the connection. It is easier to push off those thoughts of the enemy that want to bring your eye down. Because we're making connection with the Holy Spirit, and we're sowing to the Holy Spirit, and we're not allowing the things that are going on around us to destroy us and take us in a different direction. And we connect much better when we invest in the Holy Spirit. And that is part of being filled with the Spirit. It isn't just Rich doesn't like me saying this, God coming along with some magic wand. He does not do that.
Uses a staff.
You know? Yeah. So, and then it goes on, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. You know, when you do take the time to slow down in life and appreciate the sunset, appreciate what God has given us, appreciate the church family that we have, appreciate the family or the where we work or whatever. Even if it's in a bad situation, if you're in a job you don't like, either find another job, but don't be negative.
Yeah.
You know, be appreciative. Thank God for whatever good there is there. Right? That's just so fantastic. And in the process, we're preparing our hearts for the Spirit of God to move that much more. We're being filled by the Spirit of God. Isn't that a great thing?
And it displaces. I was thinking, if you're in a job that you're having a hard time, if you're just thankful that you even have a job sometimes, it displaces the negative with that positive, and then you can look a little differently at it.
That's right. And then, we can go on there. In verse 20 there, it says about giving thanks in all things. And then verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Boy, and that's another thing. When the church is made up of lots of people, a decent number right here, okay? So, we can't come in and want things to be our way. Right?
Right.
We're working together. It's a together kind of thing. We need to hear and listen to one another, and when a person is moving in the Spirit and saying something, we need to be able to go, yeah, that witness is in my heart. That's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to submit. I'm submitting there. Husbands and wives need to submit one unto another in the fear of God, and we together need to listen to one another. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
That doesn't mean that you do it just to show that you're being submissive. You're doing it because you actually pray about this alternative thing that's being said to you. And you're actually holding that before God and allowing the opportunity for God to change your mind. Mm-hmm. That's what we're really talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you still with me here? Mm-hmm. All right, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Right near the beginning. Somebody want to read verse 6? Anybody?
The Beatitudes, you want that?
That's where I am. Chapter 5, verse 6.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
Satisfied. Another word for filled. In my Bible, it says filled. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You want to be a person that's filled by the Spirit of God? Well, you know what? You have to be someone who's going to hunger and thirst for righteousness. If I want to be filled with God, it doesn't just happen. It isn't just a little burst here and there. For me to be filled by the Spirit and have that good steady flow coming into me, I need day after day to be crying out to God and hungering and thirsting to be right before Him. Yes. To live by His precepts, not to be guided by my own strong feelings and outbursts and having things have to go my way. I'm going to turn to Him, and I want to be righteous, right?
Yes.
I'm going to do what He says to do. And it's very clear in here the way we should be living. Isn't that right? So we need to be people, if you want to be filled. You know, lots of Christians, oh, I just want to be filled. Little piece of time feeling of this grand feeling overcoming them and speaking in tongues, and that's going to satisfy. That doesn't satisfy me. I mean, it's okay in itself. But there's something deeper, stronger, more steady, more elongated in my life, where I want that filling to happen to me every day as much as I can get it. And if I don't feel this way all the time. Let me just get that out there. I don't feel this way all the time, but I catch myself and I go, oh man, what's going on here? You know? And I go, God, help me. Help me where I've gotten off track. Get me back on track. I'm sure you have to do that too.
Yes.
All right. So we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And people that are hungering and thirsting to be right. And when we say right before God, doing what He wants us to do, to be obedient to what He tells us, then we are going to be filled. We are going to be satisfied. All right, here's another one. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. If I look at the right spot. Ephesians 3. Notorious. 319. And it says this. This is Paul's Ephesian prayer, it's the last part of it, and it says this in verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. We can't comprehend how much God loves us. There was some words in a song that I think it was the song that Reggie had put up there at the beginning, where, maybe it was one of the other songs, where the, now my head's trying to think of the song and I can't remember. He knows us, and yet he's still, indescribable, that's what it is. He knows us, and yet he still loves me. He knows my deep thoughts, and yet he still loves me. That's real, really. Think about that.
It's like parents.
Yeah.
You see. It's like, what?
They still love you. Yeah. Still love you. Still love you. You mess up all the time, but yeah. Your parents still love you. Right? So knowing the love of God, how do you get to know? I'm asking you now. How do you get to know the love of Christ? What happens in your life so that you get to know the love of Christ? How does that happen to you now?
As he dwells in
me. Well, he dwells in me, but
how do you know that
what's going on in your life that where you get to know his love for you? There's lots of different ways.
We usually mess up big time and see him within a miracle or a blessing that allows him to come into our lives.
And we sense his forgiveness when we confess our sins. Is that true?
Yes.
We know it because the word says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's in the Bible. We get to know something about his love when we read this book.
Yeah.
And we go, oh. You mean he's going to forgive me? After what I just did? Yes, he will. If it's a true repentance, he's going to forgive you. And then, wow. And that happens, you know what's happening also? You're being filled with the Spirit of God.
The perfect, the physical release of that is when you repent and you mean it, like Fred just said this morning, the burdens just go away.
The burdens go away.
You feel the peace. And that was just a perfect example of many that spoke of the Holy Spirit filling them and showing them and telling them something and bringing up a person's name and wanting to pray for someone. And it's like, that's a blessing.
Yes.
And that, to hear it fills us.
Yes, it does.
This whole thing has filled us this morning.
Yes. It's the steady filling that we experience a lot of times when we're together. Isn't that what happens? It does. It ends up blessing us. And we get to know God's love for us through the things that we know about his sacrificial death on the cross. But then all the other things that are added unto that in the way he answers prayers. Right? The answering of prayers, the way he protects us in certain situations.
Yeah.
What do you want to
worship.
Say?
Worship for me. I mean, releasing the songs and the hymns to him.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times during worship, or if you're praying, like that moment I had with my mother, I mean, we were in a moment of worship in my heart was before the Lord. It took a while to get into that.
Yes.
But once I was finally into that and he released that just feeling of that sensing of love and that outpouring, it's hard to explain, but yet when you're in that moment, how overwhelming
and powerful it is.
Yes. And what a base to think back on. Reggie was saying earlier when he was listening to the song, he was thinking about all the things that God had been doing, you know, recently or whatever. Those kinds of thoughts in our minds lay down a foundation so that we're solid in Christ, right? Because we have got to be with what's happening in this world. And Kathy and I were saying this morning, this isn't for ourselves. What we go through as Christians, what things we need to suffer through and learn about, it's not just for ourselves. I mean, it does benefit us, but it's really for a dying, dark world who don't know Jesus, who don't understand, who think that church is a bunch of rules and regulations and, yuck, and can't wait to get out of here and type of thing, when really we know that what we get when we're together is strengthening us, and it strengthens our bond with Jesus himself. Yeah. And we're being filled in that process little by little.
But not just
what?
Being filled little by little, but not just to keep within ourselves.
Yeah, that was yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead and say that, because I was going to get to that, but you can say it.
I don't want to point to anybody in particular, but I'm just saying, you know, a lot of times you do things because it helps you, you know.
Yeah.
You're strengthening yourself or whatever. But if it's just that, it's so empty. You know, I mean, you only have so much of yourself you can stand sometimes, you know. to be able to fill up and then give it out.
Yes.
And that's, you know, and then you're even filled even more. It's a paradox, really.
Yeah.
As you give out, you're fuller.
Yes. So I have two more scriptures. I know that you're starting to get a little tired. Two more scriptures. I haven't been speaking that long, by the way. I'll let you know that. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 54. Because this is where I felt that the Holy Spirit wanted us to get led to. When talking about being filled and that steady fill of the Holy Spirit, that it isn't just for ourselves, it's for us to give out. All right? And this is what it says in Isaiah chapter 54. I better get there. And it's verse 2. It says this: enlarge the place of your tent. Now, you know, when we are filled, we can only be filled to the capacity that we can hold. Right? Right? So, what does God say to us? Make your capacity larger. Enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge the way that you live. Don't just be able to hold this amount of me. I can give it. I'm unlimited. Did we sing that too?
Yes.
I'm unlimited. I can provide much more than what you have the capacity for right now. But you know what? You can enlarge the place of your tent. You can enlarge this. I'm just going to finish reading what it said there. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Don't spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Wow. And then you will break forth to the right hand and to the left. Now, what's this all talking about? You know, if you make decisions, you know what? I hear that April needs some help with that September 28th thing. You know what? I don't normally do this, but I'm gonna enlarge the place of what I allow myself to do. I am gonna stretch myself. I'm gonna allow myself to be stretched. Now I know that all of us feel stretched a lot. But I just want to say to us that you want to hear what God's speaking right now. And this is what God seems to be speaking right now. And I was of the opinion for myself that I'm stretched enough with everything. I don't, you know, so this message is for me. So, you know, just let everybody know. I'm coming from a very humble position right now because I know God's trying to get my attention about this. Enlarge the place of your tent, Malcolm. Do things that you're not so willing to do or can make up good excuses not to do or whatever.
You're not comfortable.
You know, where you're not comfortable, you're a little ill at ease about certain things. But you know what? CBC needs some help. Is it just going to be just a few people? Or will there be others, you know, that are going to say, you know what, I'm coming to the party. I'm coming to the party. I'm going to allow my tent pegs to be stretched out. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is going to fill you up. It's going to fill me up. That's part of this process, is to allow Him to stretch us where we need to stretch. Not to the point of breaking, but we need to stretch. We have a world that needs people that can do that and not complain, and will be there. And I've said this before in other messages. You know, how can you run with the horses if you can't walk with the footmen? If you're in a war, and we're in this grand war, we're in the kingdom of God suffers violence. We're in this grand war, and everything's coming against what God wants to do. And how are we going to handle the big things that are coming upon this world if we can't even allow ourselves to be stretched for the littler things? You know that? So are we going to, in this crossroads experience, are we going to step through that and go in the right direction that God wants us to and allow ourselves to be stretched a little bit? But you know how that's going to be? It isn't going to be that it's going to be easy and things are going to come to us. We need to say, you know what? There needs some help there. I'm going to help out in that regard. Or I know that they're having a tough time. I'm going to take more time and I'm going to pray for those people. It doesn't have to be doing in terms of physical stuff. But we need to be giving of ourselves in something else, allowing the Spirit of God to stretch us. Right?
Yes.
The colorful one. Whatever. We're talking about things that need to be taken care of. We have a unity school, a Christian school, and I think every single person in here would say, that's important.
Yeah. It's the very last one in that community.
It's the last one. And so we want, if at least we're praying for it. But to take the time to actually be praying for that. And then anything that we can give, and any way that we can support, that is going to be tremendous. The benefits, the results of that are going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Don't you think?
Yes.
And that's true. And that's true of all the other institutions that are around. You know, Amy's the principal at my own middle school. I wonder how much help they need. Do you need help out over there? You know, I mean, with supportive things, you know, for different community things that they do. I mean, we have to think that way.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to finish with this scripture. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. I come back to this one quite a bit. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Notice Paul says this to the Philippians. He says it this way: I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I think I've mentioned to you before, this word high calling, means to the brim. To the brim. Being filled to the brim. Don't you like it when you go to some place, to a restaurant, and they're giving you a cup of whatever or a glass of, it's a full glass. Oh, it's a full cup. Oh, they're not skimping. It's to the brim. And this is what Paul says he's doing. He wants to be filled to the brim. And he's allowing the capacity to get more and more. And so there's more that God gives him. Right? But notice what Paul has to do. Does Paul say, and I lay down on my bed for the brim? And my wife comes along and I open my mouth and she pours all the water in there. No, that isn't how it happens. No. He presses toward that. It means something to him. It means something to us. And it should. To serve the living God who loved us to the point where he died for our sins and provides a way for us to heaven. Wow! He deserves it, doesn't he? For us to press to that full brim taking in of his spirit. So I just want to leave you with that. This is the scripture that we put on our church website. I press to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus to that thing where I'm going to be filled to the brim with God. That's what we're looking for. So Lord, I pray that the message comes with the Holy Spirit touching, convicting, helping, empowering us in this regard. And I thank you, Lord, that you're here among us today, that you love us, that you empower us, that you desire that we press toward that calling, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that it's steady, and that you give miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit to us too. We love you in all aspects, Lord, and we desire to serve you today with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.